reform hits some turbulence. Welcome to the April 22nd edition of Policy and Practice, the weekly podcast from IMNG Medical Media. I'm Frances Correa. Anxiety is rising in some quarters as the nation moves closer to full implementation of the Affordable Care Act. The health insurance exchanges, for instance, are due to start enrolling patients on October 1st. But there are still many details to be worked out, and some are just coming to light. An overlooked part of the health law says that insurers don't have to pay claims for exchange enrollees that have not paid their premiums within a 90-day grace period. That means physicians could be on the hook for some of the care for those enrollees. Some professional societies are scrambling to see if they can undo that part of the ACA. Meanwhile, Congress is asking more questions about the exchanges, and if a recent Senate Finance Committee hearing is any indication, they don't like the answers they're getting. Democratic Senator Max Baucus of Montana is a supporter of the ACA, but he told HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius that the effort to inform people about the exchanges and how they will work has been a failure.
I just see a huge train wreck coming down, and you and I have discussed this many times, and I don't see any results yet.
Elsewhere on the Hill, House Republicans took the administration to task over the enrollment freeze for the Pre-Existing Conditions Insurance Plan, or PCIP. The program is temporary. It provides coverage to uninsured adults with pre-existing conditions and was due to expire next January. That's when the ACA will require health plans to cover pre-existing conditions. But the program is running out of money. Republican Congressman Joe Pitts is pushing a bill that would add $4 billion to the PCIP by taking it out of the ACA's Prevention and Public Health Fund. Congressman Pitts and his GOP colleagues say it's already a, quote, slush fund for the HHS. But HHS opposes the move, and so do some conservative groups. Administration officials want to keep the prevention fund intact, while groups like the Heritage Foundation oppose the concept of federally funded high-risk insurance pools. Even so, the bill made it through the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Its next stop could be the House floor. HHS also took some heat in the Senate last week. Six Republican senators issued a report critical of the Fed's approach to getting the nation's health system on track with information technology. They asked HHS to give a thorough update of how various agencies, including the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, are spending the $35 billion awarded in 2009 to help implement the HITECH Act. The senator's report also noted that there's no clear path to interoperability or sustainability of the program. At a recent hearing, one of those six senators, John Thune of South Dakota, said he's especially concerned that interoperability hasn't been a focus.
There may be that a lot of providers are creating their own health electronic records, but the idea that somehow they're going to be able to communicate with others is just seems to be non-existent in many cases. And so you've got these silos out there, but until they can talk to each other, we haven't solved this problem.
The Senate, meanwhile, still has not had a vote to confirm Marilyn Tavener as head of CMS. We'll keep an eye on that and other developments in our next edition. And that's the Policy and Practice podcast. I'm Frances Correa.